stay tuned for a free hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals.
Good morning. And yes, we are off to a start. I think it's sunny outside today. We'll find out here in a little bit. I'm Tom. He's Larry Glass, our expert. You can reach us at 1-800-749-5936. How you doing there, Lawrence?
Hey, not too bad, actually. Golly, what a busy week. I broke a shovel and a pick and bent a rock bar.
Well, yeah, wow, you've been working hard.
You bet.
I haven't been in here hardly working. You've been just tearing up the hardware.
My back muscles are a little sore.
Oh, good gravy.
But the ground is hard out there.
Yeah, when it gets this hot, it just bakes it to it's almost like concrete, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that
I think the entire town has turned into an airport.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's pretty hot, pretty dry.
Jeepers.
And really, in my yard, I haven't really watered the Bermuda grass because it'll come back.
Yeah.
I waste my money on water on something that would be greening out a little bit. But I have been watering the shrubs and the plants and everything else. They're worth a lot more per square foot. So, but the Bermuda grass would come back. People had troubles with the army worms, too. And I think that's kind of over with by now.
I hope.
And typically, Bermuda grass, it's not much to worry about with Bermuda grass. It will come back.
Mm.
But the fescue grass can suffer a little bit. And we'll talk about fescue seeding and preparation here a little bit later in the show. But anyway, typically this time of year, fall is kind of in the air, but not quite yet. I don't think there's anything in the forecast in the next week. Below 90 degrees or something.
Yeah,
it's just awful. Today's supposed to be a scorcher.
Now, Wednesday, we'll get down to 88.
For high?
Yeah.
Oh, big deal, 88.
Yeah.
How much of a difference is that between 80 and 90? You know,
nothing. Really, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
However, we do have like a 20% chance of a thunderstorm Tuesday afternoon. So, yeah, right there. Uh-huh. I got you.
Really, it was a better chance last night.
Yeah, better chance any time than right now.
Don't get their hopes up.
No.
Well, anyway. So, it's our weather. It's just the way it is. And it's causing a little stress on some people's plants. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in samples of plants. They're sending pictures of plants that look like they're pretty sad, but most of them will come out of it okay. It's not much to worry about. Mm-hmm. And the dogwood trees are suffering some appearance right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are getting a little crinkly on them. But really what you want to look at on your dogwood trees at this point is the growth tips of it. And the buds should be formed on it by now. But the leaves look a little ragged. And it's due primarily to extremely hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
And a result of all the rain we had earlier, a little bit of leaf anthracnose,
mm-hmm.
which isn't really serious unless it gets down into the plant. But typically, it doesn't go much further than the leaves on leaf anthracnose.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes some appearance issues with the dogwoods, but they'll come out again, too. So, anyway, the important thing with that is not to overwater. It looks like, oh, my gosh, they're dry. They're drying up and everything else. But no, they're just ditching leaves in response to the heat primarily.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do water your dogwood, I wouldn't worry about it too much because they'll be fine. But anyway, when you do water it fairly infrequently. Let it dry out between waterings. The dogwood tree and some others, they're indigenous to areas where typically the soil is well-drained. And also resources are somewhat limited mm-hmm. also as an understory tree to bigger trees. So they're genetically engineered to survive in somewhat adverse conditions. So they'll be all right.
All right. This is somewhat adverse.
Now, I wouldn't go off and say don't water it by all means, no. But have one in my backyard. It gets a bit of water from the drip system. And the moisture level is average at this point around it. And I don't go out of my way to water it. And it's doing just fine. And it blooms way up high. I can't see it when it blooms, so I make this annual trip to the roof, so I can rooftop. So
your pilgrimage to the
so I can look at the flowers on my dogwood tree. But and actually, it has produced some offspring. My dogwood tree has.
They have.
Uh huh. However, they're never located in the right place. These are too close to the house or too close to this and that. So this winter.
What are you going to do?
Do some transplanting.
Ah, that's what you did.
After a hard freeze. But really, the way it's going, I think it's going to be March before we have a hard freeze. It's just so blue and hot.
We've been keeping the heat on.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So that's not only the dogwood tree, but some other plants are having some issues, too. Mm-hmm. Some of the members of the Prunus family, the Fotinias, are having some difficulties, and primarily due to the cold winter we had, but secondarily due to Entomosporium, which is a disease they get in all mm-hmm. the rain. And it causes a black spot in the leaves fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets too far, the vascular tissue on the stems collapses, too.
Ooh.
And causes an appearance issue with the Fotinias also. So typically when I do a landscape design and the customer wants Fotinias, I don't put a hedgerow in. Use them as a single specimen.
Yeah.
And put them in an area where they can get good air drainage
mm-hmm.
and hopefully some good surface drainage too so they don't sit in water so long when we do have our weather extremes.
Mm.
Yeah. It's been kind of an extreme year. It's extremely cold.
Yes, we had that once in 100 years winter that lasted 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But boy, that could have felt like it lasted a year.
Yeah, and then we had a little bit of snowstorm.
Yeah.
It's been extremely dry and cold for the winter.
Mm.
It was extremely wet in the spring. Now it's extremely hot and dry. It's a real challenge for most people's plants, really.
Yeah. kind of a challenge for people, period, too.
And people think, well, I'm thirsty, so is my plant, so I'll water it. Well, our soil is also kind of heavy, and that can cause some rotting of the roots.
Yeah, if you overdo it, yeah.
And then it wilts a little bit, then they water it more, and it gets more rotted, and it just compounds. So really, it's not too much of a big deal if the plant wilts a little bit mm-hmm. in the heat. Chances are the leaves will pop up again at night and it'll be fine. But when you do water, make sure to water infrequently and fairly heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the surface of the ground to dry out between waterings.
Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to worry about the rot.
So. Root rot, yeah.
Root rot.
Because our
root
soil
row,
is so
root rot.
And after all that rain, the soil is so compacted.
Yeah.
As I know from first-hand experience from a broken shovel and a broken pick and...
All in 1 week, folks.
And my bent rock bar. So, anyway.
Your tool vendor just loves you, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. anyway, what should we be doing in the garden right now?
Yeah.
Okay, time to fertilize those spring bulbs.
Okay.
I would do that as it rains or shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizer typically doesn't transmit through dry soil.
It just kind of
sits on the top.
Well.
So you want to wait till you have... Or if you're irrigating, go ahead and fertilize those spring bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Good time to begin thinking about planting trees
mm-hmm.
and shrubs. Time also, I did this last week on my iris. I divided the iris. Got a whole wheelbarrow load where I only had like two plants like,
mm-hmm.
a few years ago.
Next thing you know, you're
and
just
and
all...
I moved them around the yard everywhere, we'll have more color spread around. So, and it's time to think about planting pansies also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're expecting to get some pansies in this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's going to be kind of hot, but anyway... you might want to just get the ground ready, perhaps.
Get the ground ready.
Really,
there's spell of 88 coming Wednesday.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But anyway, we still have a long time that we can plant the pansies. I don't like to plant them into mid-November.
No.
Because the root system won't establish. The ground typically is too cool mm-hmm. at that point, and the roots won't establish. The pansies also have a very fragile root system.
Got to take care of it.
And they won't exploit heavy soil.
They won't.
So if you have a broken shovel,
mm-hmm.
because the soil is so hard, you might want to consider augmenting the soil somewhat with some compost.
Yeah.
Peat moss works rather well, too. Mm-hmm. Just so the soil is very friable, easy to work.
Very good.
We have actually encountered some pretty good soil in some parts of town, so it's not all bad.
No.
Some good stuff. So, but
spotty.
For the most part, it's... like a rock. You can build a house with this soil. I mean, geez. You cut it into bricks and stack them and glue them together. I mean,
there you go.
Build
your
house.
Business.
Also, We will have mums coming in shortly, too. Some fall color. And it will have anywhere from the 4-inch size pot to the big old 2-gallon size.
Mm-hmm.
The big bushel basket size mums will have some of those.
Ooh, yes.
And actually, a lot of people's mums are beginning to bloom, too. So those that are established and that have adequate sunshine, they're starting to exhibit some blossom set.
Good.
So that's kind of a good sign that cooler weather is on its way.
Maybe. Hopefully. We pray. We want. We wish.
Also, it'll be soon time to plant spring bulbs, your tulips and whatnot.
There you go.
So, anyway, in the lawns, it's getting time to install fescue seed.
Mm-hmm.
I like to wait late August, early September, weather permitting on that. So it's a little hot to do it right now. You might want to wait to see what the forecast is going to do after next Tuesday. It says sunny, then chance of thunderstorms on Tuesday. Typically, when they predict thunderstorms like that, the weather's going to change.
Yeah.
So perhaps this is summer's last gasp.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some cooler weather coming up. So anyway, that's when you really want to establish the fescue grass, when there's plentiful moisture and adequate nighttime cool temperatures.
There you go.
So
less
anyway,
extreme, as they say.
Right. So now it's a time for a tilling, perhaps. You might do a tilling of the soil. You let the tiller bounce around.
Watch that baby go into that hard ground.
We break more pins
you do?
On the axle.
Oh, my.
We keep a supply of them in the truck. They just snap.
Jeez.
That thing bounces on the ground. So anyway. So it's a good idea to do at least a 2-inch till when you're establishing fescue grass. That way the roots will get established.
Good.
And then it'll tolerate next year's heat. We have to plan for next summer when we do this.
Understood.
Because it will happen again. It's Oklahoma. It gets hot.
It does.
So, and also check your soil chemistry. There's still time to do that. You might want to get a little chemistry set or perhaps take it to the extension agent. It'll tell you exactly what's going on with your soil. About $15, I think it is.
That's not bad.
Maybe $20 or something. And it can save you hundreds of dollars in grass seed, which is really expensive this year because of the drought in Oregon.
Yep.
So, anyway.
There you go.
Talk about a chip shortage. We got
grass.
Grass seed has gotten kind of expensive this year, too, because there's just not as much of it going around. So, in light of that, you need to know your square footage prior to purchasing grass seed.
Do your math, and it'll save you a lot of money.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mentioned this last week. We have a chart that shows you how much seed on your square foot. You get it pretty close.
Yeah.
If you got 3,000 square feet, it will tell you how much seed to get. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to buy a 50-pound bag to do your front yard. No, that'll do about an acre. We have a caller.
Yes, we do. Hi, good morning and welcome. You're on with the Green Country Gardener this morning. Your question for Larry.
Yeah, I've got a question here. I'm down in Tulsa, and I've got some crepe myrtles that have been out there for years. They're like 15 feet high, multiple trunks, and normally they look totally alive. And this year I have a couple of them that look totally dead.
Right.
They've not put on any leaves. They've not done anything, and they look like they're about ready for firewood. But that seems really strange because last year they were just luxuriant.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering what's going on with these crepe myrtles.
Well, we had a killer freeze last winter. And that's the primary reason why we have problems with crepe myrtles is due to the extreme freeze.
So they don't tolerate winters very well?
They will tolerate the winters here, but we had a situation this last winter when it was extraordinarily cold for a very long period of time. So that was sort of out of their league as far as survivability is concerned.
I'll be darned.
Now, the crepe myrtle, if they're not leafed out, but now they're gone. So you just have to replace them. But in the future, keep an eye on the forecast. And if they are predicting some cold weather coming on, water the hound out of them. And they'll do a better job of surviving.
I'm sorry, I missed that. I'm on a cell phone.
If they are predicting cold weather, a long stretch of cold weather in the winter, you want to water your crepe myrtles very heavily prior to it getting cold.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that would work very well for these things. Like I said, they're really trees. They're 15 to almost 20 feet high.
At this point in time, no, it won't do any good. But for any future plantings of crepe myrtles, you want to water them real good prior to it raining. I mean, prior to it raining.
Freezing for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's the old orange grove trick from down in Florida.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just water them real heavily. And it also helps to put mulch around them, too. Because crepe myrtles typically are a zone 6 plant, and we're 6.5 here. So we try to treat crepe myrtles as a shrub, if you will, mm-hmm. rather than a tree form.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks for the help.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in from Tulsa today. It is 8:24. We're going to be back after this 2-minute and 40-second timeout with the Green Country Gardener.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. I want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price. You keep it the entire weekend. You're not in a rush. It's a great deal. Come see us. Give us a chance to take care of you. We are local and customer-focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals. 918-333-9580.
It's Green Thunder's Green Greenhouse's sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumb's sizzling summer sale. Green Thunder's and Greenhouses on the Water Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
This is Coach Donnie Bostwick from Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Freedom Fire 2021 is back. On Saturday, September 18th, Youth on Fire kicks off Freedom Fire at 1 p.m.
Hey, it's Jonathan Traylor, and I'm so excited to be a part of Freedom Fire 2021. Listen. The enemy has been trying to plague our hearts and our minds with fear these days, and it's time to call on the fire of God to defeat both fear and all the weapons that are associated with that lie. So come get free from depression, anxiety, pornography, drugs, all addictions, anything that may be trying to keep you from the true freedom that God has for you. So Saturday, September 18th, we will be at Unity Square Amphitheater in downtown.
We have a powerful lineup of Christian artists beginning at 4 p.m. on stage.
We're going to worship God with everything, and I believe that God is going to set free. He's going to break chains. He's going to deliver, and more than anything, there's going to be a lot of testimonies at night. So September 18th, be there. Freedom Fire 2021.
Made possible by Patriot Auto Group, Cherokee Nation, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Let's go.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener Program. 1-800-749-5936 is our phone number. Larry Glass is our expert. I'm Tom Davis, and your calls are always welcome. Where are we on the agenda?
Okay, we were talking about crepe myrtles.
Yes.
And I was going down Claremont Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed beautiful crepe myrtle in bloom,
mm-hmm.
About 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
But the dead stuff in the winter was still in it.
Yeah, I got one of those. Some of it grew, some of it didn't.
And it's beautiful plant otherwise.
Yeah.
And so they've come back pretty nicely. Mine in the front yard was about 15 feet tall. And it went all the way to the ground, and now it's about 5 feet tall. So it's putting on a pretty nice show of color also. So it'll get back up there. So just in time for it to freeze again. It happens every time.
It does.
You get really nice looking, then it freezes again. It's just Oklahoma weather. Anyway, we're talking about lawns. This is the absolute last time you want to fertilize your Bermuda grass. And you really don't want to use a lot of nitrogen on this. You want to use something like a 10-20-10 on it.
Okay.
To try to strengthen up the stolons, the stoloniferous growth on there.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, though, we do have enough phosphorus in our soil, so you really don't need to do it. But if you look at your Bermuda grass and you look at the stolen zone, mm-hmm. those are the little things that crawl out over the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
If they're big and healthy, then you're probably okay. But yeah. if they're look kind of skinny and lethargic looking, mm-hmm. you might want to give it some phosphorus.
A little love.
And that'll help it go through the winter
mm-hmm.
Real well. And then anything after September, any fertilizer after that is just a waste of money.
Yeah.
Don't get slickered into buying winterizer, because the Bermuda grass is dormant in the winter. Now, if you do have fescue grass, you might consider putting on something like that. But typically on Bermuda grass, it's just kind of a waste. So, also, it's getting very good time in your lawn to be concerned about weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically,
they're growing just fine.
Not yet. Not yet. The cool season weeds, like your henbit and your chickweed, in the fall, they kind of stall your lawnmower out when you're trying to mow the grass. Those. It's getting time to put down a pre-emergent for those.
But let's do it.
Now, typically, a pre-emergent lasts about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a September, October, mid-November, you get effect on that. As hot as it is, the spring weeds are not starting to sprout yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't worry about it quite yet. However, keep an eye on the weather, and you want to precede a cool down
mm-hmm.
with the pre-emergent control to control that. And there's a lot of them out there, so just pick out the one that you think would work the best.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pre-emergents out there. The market's just
saturated.
It can get a little confusing.
It can. So,
but anyway, typically a Treflannor is good enough, and some others. But anyway, time to do that. Also, fescue seed, we mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It will not grow on heavy clay, and it will not tolerate too much water on a consistent basis. It really does prefer, and does not really prefer heavy shade. The word used on fescue grass is shade tolerant, not shade requiring.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some beautiful lawns here in town, fescue lawns, in full sun, doing very well. And, of course, they're underlain by an irrigation system.
You got to pay for it, huh? You got to pay for it.
You
got to
pay for that, yeah.
Everything's got to cost.
So it's getting time to start thinking about ramping up the fertilization on fescue grass, because as it cools down, the fescue grass will begin to grow more aggressively. Fescue is considered a cool season grass, whereas Bermuda and Zoysia are a warm season grass. They do most of the growth in the warm parts of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, time to think about that too. And also, if the color really isn't good, it's not very vigorous, you might want to check the pH of the soil. There are some parts in town really where the pH is rather low. I run into some lawns in Woodland Park, for example, where mm-hmm. the pH is 5.5. That's like pickle brine.
Yeah.
And in some parts, when it's up in the 8 range, mm-hmm. in some parts of town too. So ideally, neutral pH, maybe very slightly acid soil
mm-hmm.
would work. Now, we'll work on your soil chemistry for your fescue.
Yes.
Now, I lived in Georgia for a while.
Georgia.
I was a teenager.
Yep.
That was a long time ago. And the soil down there is naturally acid.
Mm-hmm.
We put lime on the soil every year, agricultural lime,
mm-hmm.
and it sweetened up the soil. And we had a greener lawn than most people, because we monitored.
Because you knew what you were doing.
As a kid, playing around with plants and chemistry and all that. Mm-hmm. I said, Dad, we need to get some lime. We put it on the grass. He said, now I got to mow it all. No, Dad, I'll mow it.
Yeah, it's okay.
But anyway, so we had a beautiful lawn because we watched all that and we mm-hmm. fertilized it and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the same here. Typically, we don't have too much of a problem with a low pH.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some parts in town where typically the parent material, the rock that's down below the soil,
mm-hmm.
is sandstone. And historically, there's been some oak trees and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes the pH to be altered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it can vary in your whole lawn. The soil pH can actually vary from one part to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you have to take every square foot and check it out. But mm-hmm. if the grass looks a little punk in one part, may be good in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Check the soil out check the soil out where the grass is not looking very well.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it's just a chemical issue, pH or salt or something. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Bermuda grass and Zoysia grass are about the same, kind of treated the same. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a winterizer on them, too. Don't scalp your Bermuda grass until at least past Valentine's Day. Because Bermuda grass really won't begin to grow until May.
Found that out. Yeah, but weeds out here until
so,
May.
So I see some people.
They didn't pre-emerge.
I did that experiment in the backyard one time.
Yeah.
Where I wanted to make a Tudor garden. A Tudor garden is one that has little walkways in it, mm-hmm. a little waterfall in the middle, that kind of a thing. So I said, okay, let's see what happens if I scalp the grass where I want to put the pathway. And let's just see what happens. Well, the grass died in there because it wasn't, didn't have the cover. Mm-hmm. The winter killed it. Mm-hmm. It saved me the trouble of it.
I took it with the lawnmower and you were done.
But anyway, it killed out the grass.
Yeah.
So Bermuda grass needs a little bit of that fluff to survive. Mm-hmm. It typically, Bermuda grass grows better further south of here. It doesn't grow very well much further north of here.
We're kind of in that tweener.
So there's some variables in the equation that can cause it to die out somewhat in the winter. So another reason why you don't want to put a lot of nitrogen on your Bermuda grass at this point is a symptom known as spring dead spot.
Yeah. It gets ugly.
If you have a lot of tender growth on there, and we do have some snow in February, I'll leave it up to you guys now.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, thanks.
We have a problem with our grass known as spring dead spot. That's where typically patches of the grass just die out.
They do.
And it's caused by a fungal growth that happens when it's cool and wet and snow-covered in February. So you don't want to put down a lot of nitrogen. You don't want a lot of tender growth on your Bermuda grass going into the winter.
Wait.
Then comes spring. We can start fertilizing, and we'll talk about how to make your grass darker green and all that other stuff in the spring, too.
Cool. Right now we have to take a break. We will be back after this 3-minute time out.
Want to get a hot and perfect body fast? It's so easy. All you have to do is eat lots of bananas, but peels only, and always be sweating, but never look sweaty. That's disgusting.
Don't follow extreme routines. Do your own thing at Planet Fitness. Now through September 16th, join for just $1 down, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Time and get back to a real routine with tons of equipment and free fitness training in our clean and spacious clubs. Join today for $1 down, $10 a month, and cancel anytime. Hurry, deal ends September 16th. See club for details.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant. Peter's True Value in Dewey is having a Labor Day sale, and you can pick up some great bargains. Only the true outdoor grillers use Weber brand grills, and Peter's has their Weber grills on sale, like the Weber Smoky Joe Portable Grill for $37.99. Get the Weber Charbroil Gas Tabletop Grill for $29.99, or the Weber Original Kettle Grill for $99. Save during the Labor Day sale on these and other fine products, but only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
There's nothing better than homegrown family fun. And the Washington County Free Fair is celebrating 107 years of food, fun, and family entertainment. Today,
we're saluting the bounty of our county. Come out and support the 4-H and FFA guys and girls as they show their livestock. Horses and beef, dairy cattle, swine, sheep and goats, the darling rabbits and poultry, as well as pets.
Check out the exhibits from fruits and vegetables to art and photography, clothing, needlework, crafts, and science projects. So much talent, so much hard work, all in one place. The free fair is open to the public today, 9 to 3. For details, go to countycourthouse.org. Click under the county information tag and select fairgrounds and free fair.
It's all in Dewey at the Washington County Free Fair.
Join the homegrown family fun.
Howdy, friends. I'm Jim Dunn, president at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Grab your boots and a cowboy hat for the annual Foster Bonanza on October 7th. An evening of great food, music, and a live auction at the historic H.V. Foster Ranch. Individual tickets and table sponsorships are going fast. Reserve your seats before September 30 at okwu.edu/foster. We'll see you there.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. It is the Green Country Gardening Program, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He has all the answers. I just pick up the phone.
Right.
What we got left on the agenda for this
Another thing on pre-emergence is just make sure your soil, or your plants, rather, are well-established before applying pre-emergence. And also keep in mind, if you want to use a pre-emergent, it also stops seeds from sprouting, grass seeds from sprouting. So it's not a good idea. You just, if you want to establish some fescue and you got a problem with weeds, you just have to put up with them for a while.
There you go.
So anyway, that's the deal with that. So yeah, pre-emergent stops seeds from sprouting.
Yeah.
So, anyway, tree of the week is Gymnocladus dioecia. You know what that is, don't you?
I get the feeling you're going to tell me.
It's a Kentucky coffee tree.
Well, there you go.
It's just a naturally occurring species.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some, but we got just one left. But anyway.
Going fast, huh?
Yeah. They're kind of gangly when young. They're ugly and gangly, like a lot of us. I was an ugly kid. Uglier than ever. But still am. But nonetheless.
No. You blossomed.
Yeah. But it gets more statuesque when it gets mature.
There you go.
You do want to plant the male trees. They are dioecious, meaning male and female are separate plants. Yeah, we carry a male plants, too, because they don't have these big old ugly seed pods. And it gets the name Kentucky coffee tree because you can take the seeds and roast them and make kind of a coffee-like drink out of it.
You can? Wow.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we may have the special order, but they're not widely available. We have found some, and they're becoming a bit more popular in the market because of their durability. Mm-hmm. They're very durable, drought-tolerant, sturdy, and interesting leguminous tree. Remember the legume family?
Yes, yes.
They are very deeply rooted. So you can plant it about like an inch away from the sidewalk, and it won't tear it up.
No, it'll go straight down. Yeah.
Anyway, but you don't want to do that.
No.
They really have really no significant fall color. They're just plain out easy to grow. And they may get some tent caterpillars, just like all trees will.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is one we studied back in school
like
100 years ago. And it was really played up because of its durability. And, they grow wild here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has a compound leaf on it. It's a pinnately compound with a rounded leaf on it.
Yes.
And it being a member of the legume family, it makes its own nitrogen. So it's leguminous.
Well, here you go.
So that's a pretty cool plant, too.
Yeah, it is.
And there are some growing along Price Road, just not quite to the college, just before you get to the college going up the hill. There's some on the left over there. Mm-hmm. So you can see them.
Yeah.
Or go through Pathfinder, you'll be able to find some over there too. So, pretty cool plants, long lasting trees too, very sturdy. And because they are a bipinnately compound, the winter appearance is somewhat clubby.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they're more resistant to ice damage and whatnot in the wintertime because as they branch out, you have one branch and then secondary branches on the leaves. So,
there you go.
I'm drifting.
No.
But anyway.
But you know what you're going to get into if you buy one.
Yeah. So, so there's not much branching on it. Very clubby appearance because it is twice compound.
Mm-hmm.
So
better
cool
looking
plant.
Than a hackberry
pretty cool
tree.
Yeah. And that brings us to shrub of the week. Another one of my favorites. I really like to use this in the landscape. Is a burning bush.
Yeah.
Or otherwise known as Euonymus elata. It's known for excellent fall color. And it does have some difficulty in the heat, but this year it didn't seem to be too bad.
Mm-hmm.
In previous years, when it got really hot like this, the burning bush have suffered some appearance, but they seem to be doing rather well this year.
Yeah.
They have very few pests. They might have a few mites and borers and whatnot, but this one's kind of easy to manage. Just kind of ignore it. And the compact varieties get about 5 feet tall, and the standard varieties up to 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. I have a standard in my backyard. That is about 8 feet tall. And it makes a real nice kind of a tree form plant, multi-trunk tree form, as you prune it up, kind of a specimen kind of thing, just off the patio right there. And the leaves are kind of peeping around the edge of the house, and when they turn in the fall, just brilliant red. It's really, really attractive.
Really nice.
So so it's if you want brilliant color in the fall, this is the shrub. Now, some of the compact varieties, I have some in front of the fence up front, and they're about 4 feet tall at this point. After the leaves fall off, I usually whack it down to where it looks like a little
hand.
Little hand sticking up out of the ground.
Little nubby fingers.
And it spends the rest of the next summer getting up to that height.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to cut this one back. It is a member of the euonymus family, which is very durable, and it responds very well to heavy pruning. So the burning bush is a good plant. Very, very few pests, as I mentioned earlier. And
how high did you say those normally get?
The standard ones get up to 8 feet tall, and the compact variety is about 5 feet.
I gotcha.
So if you do nothing, that's how tall they'll get. So I do have one in the front of the house, but I cut it back too late in the summer, and it's just ugly. But
whoops.
they grow in a certain time frame, then they stop.
Yeah.
They
rest.
It was in the way, and I had to trim it, and it... still looks ugly. So timing is important.
Yeah.
What I mentioned, if you want to cut back your burning bush, do it in the winter or spring, or very early in the spring. These do not make a good hedgerow.
Got it.
Because there's no appearance in the wintertime, and because of the density of the branching and the type of leaves they have on it, which is a compound leaf also, it doesn't make a good hedgerow. You can make a hedgerow out of it if you ritualistically cut it way back in the spring.
Got it.
So that's our shrub of the week. We have some good houseplants at the nursery too.
What you got?
So some rather rare things too. Yeah, so you might come check it out.
Okay.
That's becoming a bit of a rage lately, are these rare, unusual houseplants. So we have a good selection of them.
There you go.
So got some of those. And pansies are coming up. I mentioned earlier on the pansies. So it's time to get the soil ready for those pansies also.
All right. Let's take a break. We're going to be right back after this 2-minute, 40-second time out.
It's Green Thumbnails Green Greenhouses sizzling summer sale. Take 50% off at the register on roses, herbs, and 4.5 and 4-inch pots of annuals. Take 30% off all perennials, astables, crepe myrtles, hardy ferns, hostas, Japanese maple trees, butterfly bushes, ceramic pots, and fountains. The sales are hot, and you'll save some cool cash during the Green Thumbs sizzling summer sale. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
There's nothing better than homegrown family fun, and the Washington County Free Fair is celebrating 107 years of food, fun, and family entertainment. Today,
we're saluting the bounty of our county. Come out and support the 4-H and FFA guys and girls as they show their livestock. Horses and beef, dairy cattle, swine, sheep and goats, the darling rabbits and poultry, as well as pets.
Check out the exhibits, from fruits and vegetables to art and photography, clothing, needlework, crafts, and science projects. So much talent, so much hard work, all in one place. The free fair is open to the public today, 9 to 3. For details, go to countycourthouse.org, click under the county information tag, and select fairgrounds and free fair.
It's all in Dewey at the Washington County Free Fair.
Join the homegrown family fun.
What's new at Mr. Clean Car Wash?
An unlimited wash club. Use the bronze package for an example. It's $19.99. You pay that one price, and you can come in once a day, every day of the month, for that one price of $19.99. Next price is $27.99, $34.99, and the top one is $39.99. The bronze one is just a basic wash. Second tier gets wax, and your third one gets wax and tire dressing. And the platinum, it's everything.
Mr. Clean, 2604 Southeast Washington Boulevard.
Don't forget the free vacuums.
No, it's not over. We still got a little bit to go. It's the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Your phone calls welcome at 1-800-749-5936.
Right. Annuals, of course, annuals are flowers you have to replenish every year.
Mm-hmm.
And with the proper planning, you can have color pretty much all year round with some annual flowers.
Just follow Larry's lead. He knows how to make it pop, you know, all 12 months.
And really, if you do want to have some perpetual color in the beds, you want not to have solid, big, solid groupings of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You want a little bit of space in between. There's nothing wrong with negative space.
No, nothing wrong at all.
So you put the pansies in between near the flowers that have survived. Or if you want to plant some pansies early, you take out some of the periwinkles and maybe plant some pansies.
Mm-hmm.
And that just will take them all out. And then they'll grow and fill in too. So.
So there you go. You got
so
something
kind of,
going on.
A bit of a transition from one season to another.
Sure.
And you just don't have to do it in one solid mass of flowers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And do layers and groupings and stuff. It creates a lot of interest.
It's just like an artist with a palette, you know?
I need to bring pictures of my backyard and so that people put it up to the microphone here.
Now, we might even turn the camera on
for
here.
For those
on the
of you
Facebook.
With color radio, you can see that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Kevin might let us play with the TV stuff here again.
Ooh. So it is possible to have color, not nonstop color all year round.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about pansies earlier.
Yep.
Pansies are a cool season plant.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you just need to be concerned about getting the soil prepared and ready for them. They do like a highly organic soil. Their root system is very delicate. So we like to add a lot of compost to the soil to make it loose and friable.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, yeah. And really, when you're doing ground prep, as dry as it is right now, you might do plan ahead. You know, always pays to plan ahead.
It does.
Go ahead and if you don't have a sprinkler system on it, go ahead and water it real heavily and wait a couple of days. It'll be much easier to work.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it won't be breaking shovels and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, perennials, they repeat every year, but bloom is, but typically they bloom only in certain times. So.
There you go.
You might want to plant some perennials with leaf color perhaps to bridge some of the flower gaps in your perennials and things too. But go ahead and when you do a perennial composition, ask about what time of year do these perennials bloom.
Yeah.
And you might do some that have some that bloom early in the spring. And then when they play out, the early summer ones go. And then the late summer ones and the fall blooming and whatnot. So you can have a constant show of color. And think in terms of the British gardens, they have different layers and elevations and types of plants. So there's always something interesting going on in the perennial garden if you do plan like that. So it's just a matter of utilizing the fourth dimension.
There you go. Very good.
Time.
I like that.
Yes, time. Roses, cooler weather will make a comeback on roses. I cut back some of my knockouts way back about a month ago. And they're starting to leaf out again, and they should put on some flowers here pretty soon and look really nice all the way till Thanksgiving. So if your roses have survived, I really haven't seen too much of the rosette's disease this year on the roses.
Thank goodness, yeah.
They seem to be, it seems to be a passing thing, hopefully. And then we can have some of the roses. The knockouts are just about unbeatable. The problem is everybody looks the same.
But they're a knockout.
But they do come in different colors. And you might consider drift roses as well. We've had good luck with those. And there are several colors available. It's kind of a semi-dwarf, semi-miniature rose is the drift rose. And they're really easy to grow also. And you can just whack them back. I've got two in my backyard I experimented with. They're doing very well. One was given to me by a friend. It's a white blooming one. And another one is an apricot-colored drift rose. And they get just sawn down, coming up real soon.
Oh, my.
And then they make a recurrence in the fall, and in the spring they put on a really big show. If you do cut back your roses in the spring, chances are you're going to cut off some of the flower power. So that's probably why you really want to do a heavy pruning of the roses at this time of the year, just so when the spring comes around, the shock of being come back is over with, and you have more branches on which they can produce flowers. Do you have a color?
Not yet. Okay, going through the screening process, as they say.
Okay, cool. Anyway, so that's kind of the deal with roses. Coming into fall, you might consider getting some fertilizer for your roses. I wouldn't try to encourage a lot of growth at this point. So as it cools down, you want to encourage them to grow somewhat too also.
Okay. All right. Tell you what, we're going to take our last break, and it's a two-minute timeout. We'll be back after this.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
As the season rolls on, we carry St. Louis Cardinals baseball on AM 1400, FM 93.3, and now FM 95.1, K1.
Driving stays fair. It's a home run. Get fair, baby. Get fair. Home run for Yadier Molina. All right.
Listen to the Redbirds. Search for another pennant on K1. Thanks to United Linen and Uniform, Arvest Wealth Management, Tacos Maria, Total Communications, Total CSI, Bartnett IP, The Dunges, Family of Autos, and United Rentals. Listen to the St. Louis Cardinals all season long on K1. Listen to John Rooney,
Cardinal Baseball on 1400 K1.
And Mike Shannon,
Cardinal Baseball on FM 93.3.
And now serving Osage County on FM 95.1. The St. Louis Cardinals on K1.
All right, welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program, and 1-800-749-5936 is the number to get you on here with Larry. I'm Tom, and we were talking roses just before we took that break.
Yeah,
now
talking roses, and it'll be soon time to start fertilizing them a little bit. If anything, mulch them real good. Maybe look for some damage on them and cut that all back, and do a general cut back on your roses, and they'll really prosper nicely. There's still quite a bit of time. Typically, they stop blooming around Thanksgiving. So that's, rest of September, October, 3 months. And so you can cut them back rather sternly at this point.
While everybody's napping, I'm out there with the power clippers.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, you told me. You said, hey, wait till everybody's taking that tryptophan nap, and then...
Yeah, come back all the roses. Anyway, vegetables, enjoy the turnips you should have planted about a month ago. It's time to plant peas and radishes, leeks, and cold crops at
there
this
you
point.
Go.
So cool season crops from the vegetable garden. It's time to do that. Probably one of the more frequently asked questions we had this week is, how do I make my wisterias and my hydrangeas bloom?
How do you?
Well, actually, in order to bloom well, wisteria, first of all, require full sun. Six or more hours of direct sun per day for them to bloom real well. And a deep, moderately fertile, moist soil that does not dry out excessively. Well,
yeah,
right. Good luck there.
Yeah.
They will adapt to moist soils, but they prefer a neutral to slightly acid pH soil, which is where we run typically around here. However, we tend to go a bit above neutral in most parts of town. So. And some type of support is necessary for the mature plants. It can be quite heavy. So anyway, you want to start with grafted plants, or those produced from cuttings rather than grows from seed. A plant will also fail to bloom if it does not receive full or at least some sunlight. And if there's excessive vegetative growth that may have been stimulated by excessive nitrogen fertilizer, it typically won't grow. And if it is pruned heavily in winter or spring, which encourages vigorous vegetative growth, it will also not have any flowers on it because you cut all the blooms off. The wisterias have set their blooms already at this point. So you want to refrain from cutting them back, at least with the intention of them putting on some more blooms, because they really won't, because you're going to cut them off. Same thing with the dogwoods and the saucer magnolias and everything. Don't prune them at this point in time. You've missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
So you want to do those typically right after they bloom. So, and on your hydrangeas also, maybe some phosphorus fertilizer. And actually, hydrangeas need more sunlight than what you think, especially the newer ones. The bobo hydrangeas need a fair amount of sunshine. Mm-hmm. And it's been difficult to get the bobo hydrangeas to establish this year if they're being planted this year because of the sun and the heat we've had. Mm-hmm. So there's just an issue with them. They'll come back again. Your bobo looks like it's just been blown out. They should come back okay. So things will get better as it cools down. Don't anticipate a lot of new growth on your hydrangeas after this heat spell. But anyway, come by the nursery and check it out. We have some specials on some things. We just got a whole bunch of new trees in, some beautiful purple leaf red buds and some other trees to look at. And golly, we've been planting and delivering trees as fast as we can and keeping our shovel sharp in the process. We'll see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville, and K236 CT Pawhuska.